This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. David Frum has produced the first insider's account of the Bush White House. Frum, a conservative writer and Morning Edition commentator, spent 2 years turning out speeches for George W. Bush. At the end of his new book, Frum writes that he left the administration as he arrived, with mixed feelings.
George W. Bush is a very unusual person, a good man who is not a weak man. He has many faults. He is impatient and quick to anger, sometimes glib, even dogmatic, often uncurious, and as a result, ill-informed, more conventional in his thinking than a leader probably should be. But outweighing the faults are his virtues, decency, honesty, rectitude, courage, and tenacity.
But that's getting ahead of the story. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with Frum about his book titled The Right Man.
The subtitle of The Right Man is The Surprise Presidency of George W. Bush. In fact, David Frum was not the president's biggest fan when he took the job as a White House speechwriter.
I'm a Republican, and he was the candidate of my party. But I had, like a lot of people, a lot of questions about him. Bush was not a well-known figure when he stepped onto the national stage. And when I went to work for him, I'd never met him. I'd never met him in the flesh, anyway. The Bush White House was the last working institution in America where a man could feel underdressed if he came to work in a brown suit. This is not the White House of the West Wing. This is not the White House of finger-jabbing, late-night emotional confrontations. I can think of only one person who smoked. I never saw anybody the worse for drink. I never heard of anybody being the worse for drink. And they didn't curse, either.
The President Bush that you spent your first months in the White House riding for, how did he measure up against the President Bush that was being made fun of? The President Bush of malapropisms, poor memory for facts. Was that the fellow that you encountered on a daily basis?
I don't know that there has been a president in a long time whose image and whose reality have been farther apart than President Bush. I think people have an image of George Bush as, you know, very good-natured, but maybe kind of dumb. Whereas the truth is, he's not at all dumb, and he's not always so good-natured.
Well, let's work backwards. What about not being good-natured? He has a temper?
Well, let me read you an example of his temper. I once made the mistake of suggesting to Bush that he use the phrase cheap energy to describe the aims of his energy policy. He gave me a sharp, squinting look, as if he were trying to decide whether I was the very stupidest person he had heard from all day or only one of the top five. Cheap energy, he answered, was how we had got into this mess. Every year from the early 1970s until the mid-1990s, American cars burned less and less oil per mile traveled. Then, in about 1995, that progress stopped. Why? He answered his own question. Because of the gas-guzzling SUV. And what had made the SUV craze possible? This time I answered. Cheap energy? He nodded at me. Dismissed.
You were walking into the White House on September 11th when you heard of the terrorist attacks. Tell me what you did that day to prepare what the president would say to the American people.
Well, the day was a shambles. We were evacuated from the White House. We were told, don't run, and then we were told, flee. Secret Service men came by to tell us to take off our badges in case there were wandering snipers. There was no place for us to go. Somebody in the White House who was married to somebody who had a nearby office, and we all went over there, and they laid out some sandwiches, and we wrote, draft after draft, idea after idea, about what the president was to say.
And what was the most important thing you thought he had to say?
I thought the single most important thing he had to say was to say that we are not limiting this war just to the gangsters who pulled off this particular crime, that we are going after all of their associates and the states that sponsor them. And that was the key idea. And the president that night gave a speech from the Oval Office. And I have to say, it came to be nicknamed the awful office speech among the White House staff. It was not a very successful speech.
The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and a quiet, unyielding anger. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong.
After he finished, we turned it off, and we emerged in silence because we were so distressed. The speech was not the speech the country needed to hear at that moment. It was too rhetorical, but without content. I could feel people all over America questioning whether the man they had just seen on TV, who looked so uncertain, was the man to lead this war. You know, I felt those doubts.
So what changed? What was the pivotal moment for you?
The pivotal moment is the moment actually on the cover of The Right Man, which is President Bush in New York with the bullhorn. That was September 14th. President Bush had not been intending to speak that day, or at least that morning. He was going to speak later at the convention center to the families of the lost. But the people there so wanted to hear him. And so he stood on top of a crushed fire engine, and somebody passed him a megaphone, and he began to talk. And the crowd shouted to him, "We can't hear you."
"I can hear you."
And he said to them, "I can hear you. The world can hear you. And the people who knocked down the buildings will hear from all of us soon." The easy thing for a president to do was to unleash the country's fury indiscriminately. President Bush never succumbed to that kind of anger, never used the language of revenge.
You take credit for one of his most famous, well, certainly go down in history phrase, some would say, as you well know, infamous expressions, and that's the axis of evil. Unusual in your having taken credit for it.
That is a pretty funny story. I'd been given an assignment to find language to express the connection between Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and Iran, Iraq, and all the other terror states and terror networks that were functionally allied together. And I said that these states were linked together in an axis of hatred against the United States. That draft went in, and what came out was a new phrase that reflected the president's emphasis on moral and theological language, the axis of evil. And my wife sent an email to her brother in Canada and to a couple of his friends saying, you know, this was terrific and David had written this. But email's a treacherous medium, and somebody forwarded it to a journalist, and he then printed it, and it became a two-day news story. I wouldn't describe that as an act of taking credit, because with any words that anybody suggests to the president, the important thing is not somebody making the suggestion, it's the president deciding to use the language. That's the moment at which the words that, the millions of words that people suggest to him enter or fail to enter history.
This book strikes me as something that President Bush will not read, partly out of a sense that this is an administration that prizes secrecy and loyalty above everything. You know, is your book, admiring as it is, just essentially disloyal?
I've tried to write a candid book. And to give people a sense of what he's really like is the best way of dispelling this preposterous image you see on the late night comedians. I mean, how are you going to persuade Americans that the president is really in command if you never let people see him exercising command?
So you're doing him a favor.
I don't know. I don't work for him anymore. It's not my business to do him favors. But I admire him. I support him. I hope he will win re-election in 2004. I think that The Right Man will convince at least some people that he ought to win re-election in 2004.
David Frum is the author of The Right Man, The Surprise Presidency of George W. Bush, An Inside Account. Before and after his White House stint, David Frum has been a commentator for Morning Edition. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News, Washington.
It's 11 minutes before the hour.